This portion of the show is brought to you by Timberline Firearms and Training.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, busy show. I hope you all had a great weekend. I hope you didn't stare directly into the eclipse. We dropped the kids off today because they're going on, they're both on their separate trips.
School trip, right?
For like the whole week. So you won't hear from Olivia. My son Owen's gone too. And one of the instructions from the teachers and the chaperones, I guess you call them, right? It was like, don't look. This is for the
fifth and sixth grade.
So it's like, you know, and she was specifically looking at the boys, you know, because it's like they're the ones that'll probably do it. That's totally sexist, but that's okay. Anyway, yeah, don't look at the sun. Don't look at the sun. You're going to go blind. You're going to go blind, you know, because they're planning on pulling over at some point. You know, and I don't know how well that went. It was cloudy most everywhere.
Yeah, I hope it was clear enough in Phoenix.
Yeah, maybe. I like a good eclipse. It marks passage of time and, you know, just everything lining up, you know, mathematical, looking at this and how they know exactly when the next one's going to. Well, you look that up. It's a long ways off for the next total eclipse, I guess, right?
I remember talking about it the last time there was an eclipse last year sometime.
Yeah.
And this was going to be the big one, but then there wasn't going to be another one. I can't remember now, but it was something like 20 years from now or something.
Oh, okay. So we got some time.
For a total.
So we can build back up the end of the world, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Well, the ones who won't remember this one will, no, they'll just reignite all the conspiracy and rumors.
Funny
and
to watch because it felt like some people were turning back to like, you know, a tribal type thing, like cave clan times around the fire, and like, oh, you know, it's dark. Yeah. It's all of a sudden. It's like, no. And don't get me wrong. I think the eclipse is cool, but just the build up to it and the end of the world to talk. And I told you on Friday, was it Friday or whatever? No uncertainty that the world was not going to end because of this event. And I guess you're hearing me, so I guess we made it again. Yeah. You know, another eclipse. I mean, these have happened before. What I find funny though is the clickbait that the media does, and in this particular case, CNN. Here's the title: "Will the total solar eclipse disrupt your cell service?" So most people read that, and this is why I have little trust in a lot of media out there at this point. Because it's just hyperbole. It's just, how can we get people to click? It's a headline. Because when you read that, and most people don't read anything beyond that, you think, oh, wow, is this causing some kind of interference?
Yeah.
You know, like it's solar flares or something, or we had an EMP or something weird happened and it's going to disrupt your cell service. Mm-hmm. No, you've got to read into the article, which I did, and it was painful. Oh, it's because so many people are going to be online at once or sending pictures or making posts about the solar eclipse. But the headline makes you think that there's some kind of, you know, scientific reason why your cell phone would go out caused by
at that time,
the moon
because
and the sun.
Of the eclipse. Yeah.
It's just silly.
Yeah,
it's just silly. You yeah know? It's good.
Well, a few, like you said, most people, they scroll through all the headlines and you read a couple of them and there's, you know, 100 headline or whatever it is.
Yeah. And you know,
you don't have time to read them all, and so you see that and then you just go say, oh, to your neighbor, oh, did you hear something about cell service getting interrupted?
Yeah.
And then it starts the rumor mill.
Yeah.
Because you didn't read the article and find out that it had nothing to do with the actual eclipse. Yeah. It was more of a clog up of internet,
too many people
you
using
know,
it.
Space. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if anything happened with that. I mean, it's just like, really? I mean, people are on these things every second
all the
of the day. Anyway, is it any different?
Yeah.
You know,
people are posting on Facebook and Twitter and whatever all the time anyway.
Yeah. So it was good. So we'll check back in 20 years. We'll talk about it again. I don't know if I'll be talking about it, but we'll see. Maybe everyone, because what was it, like 3 minutes, two, 3 minutes for a lot of people. Maybe if people spent like 3 minutes watching the solar eclipse is cool. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But watching your local school board for maybe 3 minutes, because that's about all it would take for you to figure out how kooky it's gotten in a lot of our public schools. I actually did it. Somebody's got to do this. It was painful. And then I made Angela do it. I sent her the link and she watched it too. Like Sunday night, right? You're watching this thing?
Yeah, last night.
It's what we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks, and we'll get to it here in the second hour of the show. The Flagstaff Unified School District, they had a staff meeting talking sex education and they get into the topics of boys having periods and how they need to change language and this and that. I watched it. It's about an hour long. I have also saved it to audio in case it spontaneously disappears. Although Angela says that'll never happen because they're actually proud of this stuff, which you're probably right.
They're not trying to hide anything.
It's wild, man. And it starts off wild and then it gets like 30 minutes in and you're like, wow, is this for real? Mm-hmm. And I got some clips for you that if you're still not active in these public schools or still in these public schools, this one in particular, you got to hear what they're talking about. And it's out of control, totally out of control. And bit by bit, they're eroding at kind of the traditional, not even America, but humanity.
Like the distinction between
boys and girls.
Boys and girls.
Yeah. Male and female. It's bizarre. Stick around. We'll get you those clips. I'll give you a little pre-warning because, you know, if you got little kids, some of it, I don't know, this was geared towards fifth graders and I would have a hard time. You have a fifth grade.
Yeah.
Listen to this. So
right.
Crazy.
So right. It sounds like they do it in fifth, seventh, ninth and 11th.
Yeah. And third too.
Well, yeah. Or second grade, I think.
Something
too.
Like that. I got notes. We'll get to that.
And this meeting was only talking about the fifth grade curriculum. They still have three more grades to go over.
I can't wait to watch that. I can't even imagine what they're going to get into at that point.
I know.
Like, wow. Okay, so we'll get to that. Stick around. You're going to want to hear this stuff, especially if you've got kids or grandkids in these schools, or you're just generally concerned about the progress or lack thereof of humanity going forward, because I think this is really warping. I think kids' minds are getting quite warped by this assault on gender at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's really confusing. Kids that are generally confused at these ages anyway. Okay, we'll get to all that. Stick around. And I want to talk about some big money going to chip manufacturers down in Phoenix. Biden handing out more money and student loan forgiveness and a bunch more. And if you got a comment, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Okay, if you're selling a home in the Flagstaff area right now, you need to call Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Property Group brokered by eXp. She puts a lot into every listing that she does. It's phenomenal, you know, the amount that she puts into these and the experience that she has, the knowledge that she has, and the passion that she has. So if you want to get top dollar for your home, if you want to get your home sold in a quicker time than most of them out there, and Kelly's got so many testimonials about this, give her a call right now. Kelly Broaddus at 888-446-5602. That's 888-446-5602. Or go get an instant valuation on your home. You might be shocked. I was shocked. I looked it up. We don't live in a palace.
At our home?
Yeah. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Anyway, go to northernarizonafinehomes.com. You can enter in your address and you get an instant valuation. You don't even have to talk to an agent. That's northernarizonafinehomes.com. All right. Let's see. Biden is to forgive more student loan debt. He's been pushing this every few months. He got slammed down by the U.S. Supreme Court. Oh, back last year or so, he had a $400 billion plan to forgive a whole bunch. Today, he, you know, out there in the stump making speeches and stuff or trying to conjure up votes because people really don't like him. But, you know, he's trying to conjure up votes. So what do? You go to a large swath of America and dangle the, hey, we're going to take care of it. We're going to make your monthly payments less. We're going to help save you money. And basically he's out there buying votes. There's 44 million people in the United States that have student loans. Where'd that go? The average of the 43.2 million federal student loan debt, the average federal student loan debt balance is $37,088, while the total average balance, including private loan debt, may be as high as 30. So let's call it 40,000. The average people out there with student loan debt has $40,000 in debt, and it's burdensome, obviously, because I think it's more burdensome for a lot of people who the promises didn't come true from their counselors.
Right.
And from society that promised if you go and get this degree in just about anything, you're going to have such a leg up on everybody else. And here's the graph. I remember they showed me this crap. Remember this?
Well, and not even
here's how much more you're going to make
of something, but I guarantee according to whoever they talk to, that if you don't do this,
oh,
you know, your chance in life is much, much smaller of succeeding.
Yeah, I think I had an administrator, pretty much a guidance counselor, tell me that in high school. And they were probably right. That was the path I was on, to be quite honest with you. Mm-hmm. But they failed to recognize that some people that are on that path that are not college bound, which I certainly was not, if they had the experience to recognize people like me, and there's a lot of people like me out there who didn't go to college and just kind of schlepped through it all. And what's the word I'm looking for? We paid for education in many other ways and, you know, got right into the workforce. I think the problem is a lot of these people and these guidance counselors and people pushing this stuff, you're surrounded by just people with all these degrees. You can't go into the schools and teach without the degrees. Maybe they should have some positions open that they say, hey, I'm just a regular guy here to tell you how the world works, you know, without mm-hmm. these degrees. They don't have that experience. So you see all these
people. They don't see a world.
They can't see
other
it.
Than their world, yeah. Which includes the college degree. So their mindset is that if you don't have this, your chance at succeeding is much smaller. And I mean, you know, maybe that is true, but like you said, there are people you probably could pull out that will succeed without the college degree. And if you could steer them in a different direction than working at
and
Burger King
identify
or whatever.
What's holding them back in school, which is
right.
I hated it. I absolutely hated it. I should have left by the 9th or 10th grade, to be honest with you. I'm not saying that you should do that, especially if there's younger people listening to. I'm saying that I should have done that, and mm-hmm. they should have recognized and got me into things instead of keep pounding the same crap they were pounding in my head, mm-hmm. you know, for the past 5-6 years prior. It's like, we're doing this again? Oh, we're doing this again? Didn't we already do this? And I'm sitting there sleeping. I'm like, this is so boring. And I just wanted to do something. I was, you know, hands on. I wanted to get out there. I wanted to build stuff. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to start a company. I wanted to, and it's just like, they couldn't recognize that because they don't recognize that stuff because they went to school there. And I'm not knocking, you don't have to send an email. I'm not knocking teachers, right? Because we need good teachers, obviously. But the worldview is much different. Somebody who has been in school, in the government schools in particular, their whole life, and then they get out of the government school, they go to the next government school, which is college, and then they go back to the government school to teach kids about the government school system. Yeah. It's totally different, and they will never understand.
Yeah, because their path in life is just different than yours.
Yeah, and that's
yours.
Fine. That's fine. So I think we got a lot of people that they pushed into crappy degrees that are quite worthless, and a lot of people are pissed off now, and they recognize that. They're like, mm-hmm. really? I'm working as a barista at whatever, mm-hmm. and I've got $40,000 in student loan debt, and I'm making just as much money if I started working here at 18 or 16 or something.
Right.
So I might as well have done that. I could have saved the 40 grand and maybe had that money and bought a house, put money down on that instead of paying interest every month. So Biden's tapping into a real thing here.
Right. Well, and there are other people
pissed off
that
people.
Have degrees and they're using the degrees and mm-hmm. they got student loans also. I mean, there's the whole spectrum of
and they're successful
student loan, you know, people that have them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, okay. Then there's the people though who got their degree uh-huh. and you needed to get that degree to be an engineer. You needed to get that degree to be a doctor or an accountant or you name it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of things where you need that. There's 44 million people with student loans. There's 290 million people that don't have student loans. So why are these 44 million getting special treatment versus 290 million that either didn't go to college or paid off the student loan debt or whatever the case is, had good grades, got scholarships, paid their way through, worked extra, whatever. Why are they getting singled out? Because he wants his votes, because this is mm-hmm. all about buying votes with your taxpayers, tax dollars. So yeah, the 290 million have to pay for the 44 million?
Exactly.
What is that? That's crap.
Yeah.
That's total crap. But he's doing it again. And check this out. So here's what he's doing. He is kind of trying to get rid of this interest provision to quote unquote cancel runaway interest. So they control this federal, this is on the federal balance sheet, all this student loan debt. In fact, the student loan debt in America is the federal government's number one asset, number one receivable, I guess we should say. It's like $1.7 trillion. So if you were to look at a traditional balance sheet, that money is owed to them. It's a debt. It's a liability to someone else. It's an asset to the federal government. So he basically wants to take in time where we have $35 trillion in national debt, a big portion of the federal assets and say, let's just get rid of that. Could you imagine a bank doing this? I want my bank to call me and say, hey, you know that mortgage you got? Yeah, we're just going to forgive that.
Yeah.
You know, poof. Mm-hmm. We don't care about our shareholders or anything.
Yeah.
Your debt's forgiven. So he wants to take $20,000. He's going to basically all the accrued interest and all the money that's built up beyond the original amount, get rid of that. And it's up to $20,000 per borrower. And it's for a broad swath of people. And here's what I don't get. If this goes flies for Biden, single people who earn $120,000 or less would qualify, and married borrowers making $240,000 or under could have that entire amount deleted.
Which is probably most of the people.
Yeah. I mean, you're married and you're pulling in $250,000 a year almost in income.
What I'm saying though is the people with student loans.
Oh, it's most of them.
Most of them are going to be making less than those thresholds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the ones that are making like, you know, many, many millions a year, like,
they could pay him off.
Yeah. Or they're like, the guy who owns Facebook or some of these, or like, Bill Gates and stuff, and they never finished college and they don't need to pay it off. Anyway, just think about that though. $120,000 a year for most people in the country is pretty good wage. I mean, maybe it's not as much in San Francisco or New York or some places. Maybe in Flagstaff's getting like that. $240,000, you're making $240,000 as a married couple in most places in this country. You're doing quite well. I think you don't need $20,000.
Yeah, you could pay your loans off.
I think you can take care of that. But then again, I don't think anybody should get it forgiven.
No, me neither.
And I think most government programs should be gotten rid of too. So I'm in the fringe in America nowadays.
If there was a compromise, then okay, we'll stop the interest or we'll take the interest off.
Yeah.
But you still owe the principal of the loan, the amount that you borrowed.
Yeah, they're going to wipe all this out. I guess we've been a fool telling everybody to, you got to pay your debts, right?
Yeah.
You got to pay your debts. This is bad because I see this escalating because every administration that now comes in will try to figure out what the gimmick is for their base and try to peel some voters off by giving away something. And we can't afford it.
That's the only thing they can come up with to get exactly. people to like them.
Exactly. I did some research just to look at a better way than, and I think a lot of Gen Zers are, there's more of them not going to college than maybe some of the previous generations. It's not as big of a hype. And I think people recognize that for a lot of jobs, I just got to go out there. But I was looking like, what's the median salary for a plumber? It's like 60,000. I know it can be a lot more and it just depends, but we're talking like probably like a journeyman, something like that. And it depends on the area and all that. Generally you can get going within a year of training. You start off as an apprentice or you go to maybe you do some community college stuff where they have it. And then you go get a job with Angela's Plumbing Service and you work your way through it. But 60 grand a year, that's not bad. You can, if you're a couple and you got someone else pulling in 60, you can do all right. Truck drivers, 57,000. But I've seen much higher as well because there's a real shortage in a lot of these professions. There's like 10-week training programs to get out there. So you start weighing that out and saying, I'm going to go get a degree for 4 years and I'm going to get a job at 45, 50, 60,000 a year. Right. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Registered nurses are in short supply, right? Mm-hmm. They make, what's the median? About $70,000 for an RN. 16 months, you can do those. Very focused courses, HVAC, so heating, repair, things like that. Tech makes about 60 grand. Depends on the area, like I said, but 6 to 12 months of training. And one more here, and this is for Owen, who wants to be either a pilot or an engineer. You don't have to go to college. You can just, and we've talked with Bruce Sidlinger about this, you've got to get hours. You've got to get the training. You got to get your private license and get commercial rate and all that. 1,500 hours. It probably costs about 100 grand. But, they're making about 100 grand. There's people making a lot more than that.
Right, yeah.
So a lot more solutions out there.
Yeah, there's other ways of making a living and a good life for yourself, without the college student debt.
And I know a lot of plumbers that work for another company for a long time, and then they go out and they start their own thing. Mm-hmm. And then how many times have you seen that? Or HVAC, and they start a one- or two-man operation, and they do really, really well. All right, love your thoughts. College, no college, forgiving the debt. What would you like forgiven? How about that one? Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. One more on the economic side. Once again, the U.S., we're focusing on forgiving student loans and things like that, and we're not focusing on the important, really big things. And something that I'm concerned about is how the U.S. continues to use the dollar and the status of the dollar as a reserve currency as an economic weapon. This is from CNBC. U.S. is preparing to sanction Chinese banks now. We did this with Russia. Now they're talking about doing it to Chinese banks and companies, as well as Beijing's leadership. So remember, they went after Putin's assets and his flunky crony, what do you call those, the oligarchs, and seized assets. Now they're talking about doing it to the Chinese. If they aid Russia's military in any way in its invasion of Ukraine, so and supplies, material, finances, things like that. That was Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said just earlier today. So they're sending that message out there that, you know, you mess with anything in the West and you get the economic sanctions. But the problem is, how many times can we do this before these nations, before it becomes laughable?
Right.
Because, yeah, we have a big power in being the world's reserve currency, but we don't have the power we used to have back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, things like that, when we were also the manufacturing base. These are big economies now. And when do you get to a tipping point where, oh, we're going to sanction China, we're going to sanction Russia, we're going to sanction Iran, we're going to sanction all of these countries and, you know, billions of people, basically.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not Cuba or something that's like a smaller nation.
This isn't one little country. When do we just use this to a point where these countries, and they've talked about it, I don't see it going anywhere yet with the BRICS and things like that, where they're trying to get their own basket of currencies or maybe even gold, something like that. But when does it get to the point where they just laugh and say, whatever, we'll just drive, Russia's going to drive their, or pipe their, you know, oil, natural gas over here, and we're going to send them, you know, manufactured goods, and we'll trade it in our own currency.
Right.
I mean, it's already starting to happen. These guys are clueless.
No, we don't need you anyway.
Yeah, we really don't need you anyway. So using the dollar as an economic weapon, if you're a reserve currency, is a massive mistake if they use it in this scale, because people will just stop using the currency and wait and see what kind of inflation we get then when everybody says, I'm just going to ship my dollars back to the U.S., and put it into something so I can exchange it and get it out of your stupid dollar. Mm-hmm. I wish we had smarter people in charge. I really do. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right. Let me get to my next great sponsor here. And it totally disappeared on me. Speaking of HVAC, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, they've been doing a great job for my family for many, many years. Gettles can get your HVAC system repaired, and they did that for us. We had the one here in Flagstaff, that older unit, and they were able to find the parts for it, keep it going. We do annual inspections too, because I think that's really important, especially when it comes to your heater. And you got the warm season coming up. I think it's supposed to be in the mid-70s in the Verde Valley here this week, right?
Yeah.
After we get through kind of this colder day today.
That's good.
Yeah, that's really good. So, hey, call Gettles High Desert Mechanical or just save their number. They'll be able to help you out. 928-567-2200. That's 928-567-2200. Or go to Gettles, G-O-E-T-T-L-S, GettlesHDM.com. Also, thanks to Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Great specials going on. They've got the sliders right now. Tomorrow is Taco Tuesday. So starting at lunchtime all the way through dinner, you get some great tacos at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. And Wednesday, don't forget about Wing Wednesday. And they've always got something great on their $4 menu at Sportsman's Bar and Grill, just north of downtown Flagstaff, right there in the Bash's Shopping Center. Plenty of parking. Stop on by Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Back in a minute. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
You're listening to The Jeff Orbit Show.
If you're looking to save some money on your smartphone, don't buy a brand new one. Go to Just Wireless in West Flagstaff right there on Milton Avenue. They can fix your existing smartphone, or they've got a great line of refurbished smartphones as well. Some of the biggest things that people come in for and that you can get fixed on your smartphone is your battery. They can replace that on just about any smartphone out there, plus cracked screens, charging ports, and much more. Stop on by Just Wireless right there on Milton Avenue in West Flagstaff, or go to JustWirelessAZ.com. Welcome back. Speaking of money, I don't know how you feel about this one. Big, rich, multinational firm getting billions of your tax dollars because of your politicians, namely because of, this was one of Senator Sinema's big ones, one of her parting gifts. You know, she's the one-termer. We'll be stuck with the consequences of her term for a long time. And people like Manchin who are gone, you know, that they later admitted that maybe we are spending too much money, think?
But I only mean, after he's gone.
And getting his, you know, cush retirement, probably a gig somewhere else, advising other people how to, you know, eke things out of the government. So it's Taiwan Semiconductor, it's a Taiwanese company, biggest semiconductor producer in the world, I believe, huge. And they've recognized that they've got some geographic risks being a few miles away from China and that China really wants that back and then they'll control Taiwan Semiconductor. They did a press release today that they're looking at, it's like a memorandum of understanding. So it's not particularly, you know, in stone yet, but they're willing to invest another, I think it's 20, there's a lot of billions in these notes here. I think it was another 20 billion or so, $25 billion. Yeah, a third, here it is, $25 billion plant in Arizona. So they've got a campus developing down there. You know that big plant that you see right there by the 303 on the north end of Phoenix, right? They've got that one that's huge. Then they've got a second one that's in the works, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't even know about that.
I didn't know about that either. And then now they're saying, Taiwan Semiconductor is saying that they're going to do a third plant, another $25 billion plant. So the three plants total in Arizona as far as investment, as far as all the infrastructure to build these huge monsters, $65 billion. That's a chunk.
Right.
Right? That's a chunk, and it's good. Largest foreign investment in Arizona. And to me, strategically, it's a good idea to get semiconductors, which are in everything now. Yeah. And more coming in everything. And it's a good idea to have some of this production on at least this continent.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be. Right. I prefer it to be in the U.S., but at least in this continent in case something happens and, you know, things get out of control. But here's what I got a problem with, and I want your thoughts on this, folks. Should the taxpayers be subsidizing this? Should the taxpayers be subsidizing? Because in this particular deal, the $25 billion deal, they would get $6.6 billion in grants from the CHIPS Act that was passed in 2022. Remember that one? I think it was $1.2, $1 trillion, something like that. It's hard to keep track anymore. Plus another, according to this article, $5 billion in direct funding from the Biden administration. As this guy has his own money or something.
Yeah, he's right.
Whipping out the big check, yeah, right?
Yeah, he's just opening his wallet.
Yeah, thanks, Biden. You know, $11.6 billion in taxpayer subsidies for this $25 billion plant. Not quite half, but basically they're getting a chip plant for 40% off.
That's a lot of billions for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if I don't know how to make chips, right? I don't even know how to make potato chips. I don't know much about anything, but I do know that if I had 40% of something secured through all this money coming in, I could probably go to a bank and get it, get the other 60%, right? Because then I could find people that know how to do this stuff. So here's where I'm going with this. Wouldn't you love this? You know, we're just talking about student loan and all the student debt and all that. And, you know, these other careers you can do, become a plumber, become a truck driver. Wouldn't you like it if like you're a truck driver and you're like, well, yeah, can I get a 40% float, you know, on just money given to me as a grant to buy a fleet of semi trucks to deliver chips, potato or microchips? I don't care. And then go to a bank and get a, you know, get a loan that has, 60% loan to value here. So you're going to loan me, let's say, in this case, in the chip manufacturer, you're going to get, $11.6 billion and you got to put in another 14 billion. That's a good deal.
Yeah.
I would do it. So where's our deal?
Well, where's our deal?
Yeah, why it's a,
we don't.
How come this multinational company with, let's see, I got the numbers here. I think they have $65 billion in annual revenue. Yeah, okay, I was close. $67 billion in annual revenue last year. $67 billion and a $26 billion in net income. So profit. What? Right. I mean, why do they do this stuff? You can send me your email on this if you think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread that, you know, we're using tax dollars to subsidize this stuff under the name of national defense and national security. Or is it just another handout to the big ones, the too big to fails, and, hey, we've got to do this for them. Meanwhile, you know, have you been shopping? You can't barely fill up your cart anymore because you can't afford it, but they're handing out these types of deals.
Yeah, and it's not just the big ones either. I mean, there's ones here in Flagstaff that get...
Oh, yeah.
There's startup businesses that get... Oh, here's the office space. We'll donate. No. You know,
you're and talking here, well, the incubator.
Yeah, things like that. Or people get tax deals all the time. Yeah. Oh, we're going to abate the property taxes for the first 5 years whatever it is. And meanwhile, you know, I'm sitting here paying my property taxes and it's all going to someone else to not pay their property taxes.
Yeah. You can have an entertainment venue, for example, in one city, another northern Arizona city, Flagstaff specifically. And you're so vital to the world economy that you get a what they used to call giblet, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't basically pay the property tax, and they finagle it through different ownership structures and this and that.
Yeah.
But you try to do that. Meanwhile, you all pay your property taxes. And even if you're renting, you're paying property taxes because the landlord's paying it, and it's all visible in your higher rent.
In your rent.
Right? Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can have a business. Me and Angela have a business. We pay a healthy amount in property taxes, right? We pay a healthy amount in property taxes. About half of that, 40%, half, something like that, goes to the school district, which we will highlight in the second half of the show, that we don't even go to anymore because of the crazy crap they're doing.
Right.
And wait till you hear some of these clips. So it's like, but these companies come in and...
Yeah, and there was recently one going on at ASU in Tempe, right, that was on the property of... ASU.
Oh, the hotel.
It was like a hotel.
Yeah.
And it was, the hotel was owned by, not by ASU, but whatever hotel brand. And, you know, building it on the ASU property. I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
and
there's some structure.
They
like
weren't
that,
paying the property taxes on it or something because
it's on
the location of it.
Yeah. Basically.
And it's like,
sweetheart,
it's not
deal.
Fair to the hotel across the street.
I've seen that happen in many communities where literally the hotels across the street is not on the university, and then they put one on the university, a major brand. And, you know, how do you compete against that when you're paying, oh, on a big hotel, what do you think, $100,000 in property taxes? Probably
easily
more.
Easily $100,000,
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know commercial properties just with office space are paying, I know this very good, 20 plus thousand a year in property taxes. And so hotel, you know, and then you're competing with somebody who got a sweetheart deal because of connections with politicians. Mm-hmm. And it's just happening time and time again. It's not, this isn't free market capitalism. This is crony capitalism that we see time and time again. I want chips. I do. Don't get me wrong.
Well, yeah, but if you but and I decided like,
deal?
Hey, let's, why don't we open a chip manufacturing place and like, we're going to go find investors and whatever. Are we going to get the deal that they got?
Yeah, yeah. Or let me build the property. Let me develop the property for you.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll just, I don't know. It's not really my you know, ball of wax, but there's somebody out there to be like, okay, sure, I'll take the billions and go get a loan for the rest.
Yeah.
Right? Or investors to come up with cash. Say, hey, I got the money secured. It's just insider stuff, you know, and you ain't part of it. It's like that comedian used to say, it's a big club and you ain't a member.
Well, yeah, and they're all about, you know, hey, let's even the playing field. Let's level the playing field and everyone, people get paid the same. And, you know, we all want equality and all this stuff. But then they're the first ones to give people deals on real estate or businesses or, you know, hey, you move here and you get this or that. Or here's
or
a tax credit
ones,
for this or that.
They're the first ones to break their own rules. You know, Rob Wilson and I and others have talked about this before, Mark Howitt, when COVID hit, all of a sudden you could be overweight on your, you could have waivers. So they'll waive things for themselves all the time because it's too burdensome to actually operate like that.
Right.
When it's inconvenient to the government, they'll say, oh no, we don't need to do that anymore. That doesn't matter. Oh, it didn't matter yesterday for me.
Yeah.
Or it mattered yesterday for me, but not for you now.
Yeah.
So it's,
we want everyone equal as far as rules and.
Yeah.
Things like
even
that.
Playing field.
But then, you know, this business is going to get some tax
yep.
you know, yep. incentives. And meanwhile, ours doesn't get any.
Or, you know, you're a big, too big to fail during the great financial crisis of 2008, 2009. You get bailed out. You get money. And then the smaller ones in particular, remember all the banks that closed? Mm-hmm. The smaller local and regional banks, they had to shut their doors while the big ones got tons of money shoveled into their, we'll just say vaults, but it wasn't like that really. Mm-hmm. And then they get to acquire those smaller regional banks in the process. Or, you know, try to start an airline.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
During COVID. How many billions did
they get bailed out?
Yeah, try to start a small airline.
Local ones, like, say, ones that do charter flights or something, nope, they're not getting bailouts.
You're gone. But we recognize this, and hopefully by recognizing it.
No, I don't think most people do recognize it.
No, maybe not. And I hate that incubator in Flagstaff. I don't like business incubators because go rent your own office space. And the thing's like half vacant all the time. We got to take a ride up there. Half vacant, taxpayer funded boondoggle in Flagstaff with that business incubator. And then they built a second one. Mm-hmm. Remember, I was on the council and I was the only one that voted against the dang thing. Oh, well. All right. Hey, there's a reward out for the Prescott Valley arsonist. The ATF is now offering $10,000 in conjunction with, I think, some Prescott Valley law enforcement agencies. $10,000 reward for info leading to the arrest and conviction of the suspect wanted who torched the under construction Legardo Apartments. This is a big apartment complex they're building there in Prescott Valley. $60 million estimated in damages. And then there was also fire at Bradshaw High School, which was $60,000 in damages. They got a $10,000 reward. They got a picture of the guy. He's all masked up and hooded up, and he's got a GoPro type thing going on. If you got information, 888-283-8477. They got too many numbers on here. Just pick one number. Seriously. There's five numbers on here. Which one should we use?
Phone numbers?
Yeah. It's like, which one should we use? How about this? 888-ATF-TIPS. 888-ATF-TIPS. That's probably a little easier,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Unless you have a rotary phone. Does anyone have that anymore?
No.
We should get one. They still work? Anyway, this dude's burning stuff. They think it's the same person that did both. By the way, there's another big fire last night in Phoenix. A bunch of homes under construction there were destroyed by a large fire overnight. So don't know if it's related, but wow. You know,
yeah.
Was there lightning?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on here with these, you know, now two really huge fires?
Yeah, things don't just spontaneously combust, so.
Well, it's questionable. I've seen the X-Files. It might, right? You're not a believer?
I want to believe.
You want to believe? Do you want to believe? Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. And again, that's 888-ATF-TIPS. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Angela's not a believer. And when we watch X-Files or anything science fiction, she's like, come on, come on. Hey, if you get a rock chip in your windshield, call Diamond Auto Glass first. They'll take really good care of you. You call your insurance company. They route you through to one of the, chain glass companies that aren't as ingrained as my good friends over at Diamond Auto Glass into the community. They've done a great job for our family for years, and you get these rock chips all the time, especially in northern Arizona. Stop on by Diamond Auto Glass right there on 4th Street, 928-779-4140 if you want to make an appointment. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. If you need to refinance your home, if you're waiting for 3% interest rates, I don't think you should be waiting anymore because I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
In fact, on Friday's show, I told you that one of the Fed governors said that might have to raise interest rates, which plays right into what I bet, which was you ain't going to see interest rate cuts this year. Mm-hmm. Don't bet the bank on it or the farm on it, I mean, because I could very well be wrong, but my gut's telling me they're playing not. Us.
They can't.
They're playing us like a fiddle once again. Anyway, Kim Dawson, regardless of what your situation is, Kim Dawson over at Nova Home Loans, she's got all kinds of different programs, including great programs for first-time home buyers. Also helps and works with people who have gotten into this really bad credit card debt situation, especially since those credit card rates don't seem to be coming down, and I don't think they will be. Maybe you can refinance your home and get all that credit card debt into one new loan and save some money every month. Mention the Jeff Orbit Show when you call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. $250 off if you mention the show of the lender's fee at closing. Call Kim at 928-310-6458. 928-310-6458. I'll go online to NovaHomeLoans.com/Kim Dawson. I think it was staring at the eclipse.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing.
You burned your eyeballs.
The same anymore. Anyway, NovaHomeLoans.com/Kim Dawson. NovaHomeLoans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, MLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, MLS 3087. BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Stick around. I've got the clips of this Northern Arizona School District, Flagstaff Unified School District, and this crazy sex education meeting with the staff members and one member of the Coconino County bureaucracy. It's crazy stuff. Wait to hear some of this stuff. Yeah. Angela's still like, really? Fifth graders? So stick around. We got that. Plus, we could get you caught up on a bunch more, too. Stick around. Back in a minute. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
This is Jeff Horvitz, and if you listen to my show, you know that I recently had the blinds replaced in my house. And when we decided to get this done, obviously we called my friends at the Blind Brothers, and we weren't going to deal with anybody else because this is a great Northern Arizona company. They don't use subcontractors, so you know who you're dealing with. Now, the Blind Brothers came in, they laid out all the options for us. We picked out, my wife Angela and I, a great set of blinds. They gave us a great price. We opted to have them do the installation, which they can do for up to half off the price, as well as any other advertised specials. It's a great deal. They came in, they took out all the old blinds, got rid of them, hung the new blinds. They work perfect. We are very, very happy. I want you to do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. I know you're going to be happy. That's 928-634-2423. Or go online. They have great monthly specials at theblindbrothers.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by Allstate Insurance Agency in Flagstaff.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of the show. Jeff Horvitz here. Angela here with me as well. What'd you say? Another House member of the Arizona Legislature is resigning or resigned?
Yeah.
Who's this?
On Thursday this happened, but this article is from Friday. Quiñones? Marcelino Quiñones.
Don't know. Which district? Him?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
District 11.
District 11.
Yeah, he resigned.
There's a lot of them.
This is the sixth one this session.
Sixth member.
Two of them had like scandalous stuff going on, but four of them have resigned just personal reasons.
Yeah, you were saying during a break, hey, should we start asking these candidates? And I'll get some candidates in here as we get a little closer, especially the LD1 and LD7 races. But should one of my questions be, hey, do you intend to fulfill your two-year
term? I know. Do we need to start asking?
I mean, seriously. There's one girl who resigned this past year who was facing almost certain expulsion for whatever controversy, something stupid, I'm sure, of their own doing, right? And she's rerunning.
Yeah,
she resigned, and then she's rerunning. It's just like, if the voters vote her back in, then she should not be able to get expelled or resign. You know, she's just in there for 2 years and they get what they deserve
right
at that point. Yeah. Right. I mean, come on, you know, it's just like she resigned. She didn't stay there and fight it. So yeah, you're going to, I doubt she'll make it, but hey, nowadays you never know. Never know. All right. If you missed last hour, listen back to the podcast. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show, ORAVITS, on your favorite podcast provider, because we hit pretty hard on the big $11.6 billion grant, which is your tax dollars that's going to this big multinational chip company in the Phoenix area. I'd like your thoughts on that. And we also talked a little bit about the eclipse and this and that. So we won't hit on that much again, but go back and listen and subscribe as well. I want to get into the wondrous meeting that some staff members and a member of the Coconino County Health District, or what was she?
Yeah, you know, I don't remember the title. I've got it written down somewhere.
But she was weighing in.
She's with Coconino County, and she sounds like she does her own training, education.
Tell me this is the health district. This is the health district that formed during the great financial crisis when we're all like struggling to pay property taxes and to, you know, keep our doors open. And they created this district. And I had the politicians sit in my office and say, hey, we're not going to raise it that much, Jeff. There's no way. And they raised it 18% or 16%, whatever it was, the maximum amount while we were all struggling to form this health district, which they then used, because you can dump money into that and get the squeeze money out of the property owners, right? And then they dumped it into the general fund to backfill their overspending. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they had a collapse in tax revenue because the economy was so bad, when they have a collapse in tax revenue, they go after the very people who create the tax revenue. Yeah. and they go after the people in general and say, hey, oh, you got to pay and backfill this. We can't fire anyone.
No,
we're going to create a new department. And they did that. And now they got this girl going around helping with sex ed in your public schools. It's just rosy. I'll tell you what. Wait till you hear some of these clips. You'll either say, nah, Jeff, you know, I don't see how you could say I'm misreading these, what they're saying, or overreacting, or you're just choosing to ignore it. And you're either going to say, that's fine, I'm okay with this stuff in the public schools, and that's how the world is now. Or going there and I'm going to go to board meetings and try to make a change, which honestly, I applaud you for that, but I don't know if you're going to do that with this group, or you're taking your kids out.
Yeah. Like I'm going there tomorrow to
I'm withdrawing my kids. Yeah. And it's happening because they were short. They're down hundreds of students.
Yeah.
In some of these public schools,
I think over the last year or two,
people are sick of it, but not enough. They haven't lost enough funding yet. I don't see padlocks on schools yet.
Yeah.
As far as we're closed due to lack of kids.
I know, and I've talked about this in the past, that when the last school that we had to withdraw the kids from, they didn't ask why we were leaving. They didn't care.
They didn't care. They were glad we were leaving.
They knew. And then I talked to someone that used to work at an elementary school at FUSD, and over the years, you know, had different principals, and one principal in particular was like, well, when someone comes in to withdraw, you need to ask them, why are you leaving? And then like the next, you know, couple of principals, they don't care. They didn't even ask. So, I mean, even if you did go withdraw your kids, you know why you're leaving, but if they don't ask you, then unless you're willing to tell them and just come right out with it without being asked, then they might not even know why you're leaving, which they should ask.
I suspect at this point they know, but they don't want to hear it. But people are leaving because of the stuff they're teaching. And
enough of them that are all saying the same thing, then.
Well, if there's a good business in the private sector, you'd be like, why am I losing these customers? Yeah. Hey, I just want to do a follow-up. You know, what did we do wrong? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. You did this. Okay, I'm so sorry. We're going to try to do better. I hope you give us another chance in the future. We're going to make some changes. You know?
I haven't seen that. It didn't happen with us.
They don't care because they still get the money. There's no consequences.
Yeah.
But eventually, if enough people leave, there'll be consequences. And I won't be sad when there's a big padlock on a public school and it's saying for lease. Mm-hmm. And another school, private school or something, will come in and probably rent that up. Or maybe we'll make a chip manufacturer there.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can get a grant and start our own.
Right.
American chip manufacturing.
Well, the Orbitz chip company. Yeah. The thing that I was confused about with this meeting was at first they said that these programs are an opt-out program.
Yeah, let's get into that. Yeah,
but then later on they were talking about, well, no, you have to opt in.
Yeah.
So I'm not clear whether it's an opt-out or an opt-in. So I think people need to
ask them.
Call your school and ask them.
Yeah, it's like, you know, are we confused about gender and also what opt-in or opt-out is?
Yeah, they literally said both things. Yeah.
Let's give them the details here in just a second. But before I do that, if you get a rock chip in your windshield, call Diamond Auto Glass 928-779-4140 or stop on by on 4th Street. Get that fixed quick. They also do full windshield replacements. Diamond Auto Glass, and check them out online at thedifferenceisclear.com. That's thedifferenceisclear.com. Okay, so this was a meeting back in February of this year, and the Daily Signal did an article. We had the Tony Kinnett. We had the author. It first came to my attention from parents of the Flagstaff Unified School District that called in and said, "Hey, are you watching what's going on? Did you see this Daily Signal article about sex education in the schools?" And we've all heard it before and how the gender stuff's going crazy and really the battle and the war on gender, you know, male, female, and going back just a few years, even with the infinite universe of gender and the gender-bred education and stuff we thought was bizarre. Now it's all mainstream. They're ingrained in there. And even people that you wouldn't think would be pushing this stuff seem to be. And it's just the pressure, and they bite a little bit of the apple every year and get a policy in and keep moving forward. And we keep retreating and retreating and retreating. So they have this meeting, and it's, let me get the names here. I had the names. They have this meeting, and it's all staff members that are there, right? And it's four members of the Flagstaff Unified School District. Like a assistant superintendent, I think, yeah, or whatever they called it.
Someone representing all the counselors.
Yeah, and someone.
They had the lady that actually teaches the classes.
Here it is right here. Assistant superintendent. They had a coordinator for sexual health for the district. So these are FUSD employees. They had the health service coordinator, and then they had the elementary school counselor, and they videoed the meeting, and I guess you could watch it as a public meeting, but it was just the staff members. And then they had one person from Coconino County from the public health. She was called public health advocator. I don't know what that means, you know, but she's a public health advocator. So at the beginning of it, it's a 60-minute long meeting, and we have preserved it for, you know, history. Just, you never know. Sometimes these things disappear when it gets crazy. It gets like too much traffic, and then all of a sudden the video and the audio just like it burns out, I guess.
All of a sudden,
and it's
gone. I don't know what happened. Yeah.
Well, we have it. So it's in our archives. Anyway, they go on to talk about just different sex education and how they're doing it for, I believe it was 3rd, 5th, 7th, 9th, and 11th. And the stuff that they talked about initially for the first half hour for the most part, and you tell me what you think about this, was pretty benign, you know, good touch, bad touch, you know, creepy, scary,
yeah,
danger.
Who do you talk to if something makes you feel weird?
Kind of stuff like that.
Just kind of general safety things like that for the younger kids. I think it was second grade they were talking about.
Yeah.
For that.
Okay. So it's, you know, there wasn't much. I don't think anything caught my ear too much.
No.
And I was like, okay, this is pretty benign, I guess. And this is stuff that really, quite frankly, parents should also just be telling their kids. And I think most do. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if we need the government to be involved in this level, but they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it is what it is. But then,
lady that actually teaches those meetings, the agenda was for her to go over her kind of curriculum, and they were going to talk about if they want to make any changes. Or if anyone had any questions, anyone on that panel at least had any questions or input for that. And so they were planning on doing the 5th and 7th grade.
Yeah, but they never got past fifth grade. About halfway through the hour-long meeting, approximately 30 minutes, 32 minutes or so, is when it started getting a little bizarre for me. And you had the you had the county health district employee chimed in with what changes should come, right? And how basically, and I got the audio, and I think the best way, I was tempted to play the full hour meeting for you to get the full flavor, just because you could then kind of grasp what's actually happening in these schools. So they start chiming in about boys and girls, you know, the two genders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boys and girls, and how it should be people, and how we have to accommodate things like, oh, boys with periods, right? All right, so mm-hmm. so listen to this. This is them kind of going back and forth.
Yeah, well, I just want to address the language. There's a lot of boys versus girls language, and the way we're moving toward and have been moving toward in the last 10 years in the county is instead of saying girls have periods, boys don't have periods, we say, you know, some people have periods. And in the spirit of keeping, you know, these trans and trans non-binary kids in our minds, who at age in fifth grade may or may not be out, may or may not have expressed their gender yet, but to include them as they age and as they start having periods, just to keep in mind that in the boys' room, you will have trans boys who have periods. And that is statistically true everywhere, and including in Flagstaff, and in my own experience in the smaller charter schools and county schools, we have actually stopped doing anything different, the boys' room and the girls' room, because Arizona still wants two rooms. We tell them to go where they're comfortable, and we teach the same lesson in both rooms because there are boys with periods. There are girls who will not get periods. So again, saying to them, you go where you're comfortable, and the lesson is the same. And this is what periods are. This is what period products do. This is how you're respectful of people who are on their periods, no matter who they are. If it's your own friend of the same gender or a girl and you're a boy, like, we need to be respectful and not ask probing questions. If they offer to you, like, I'm on my period and I'm angry about it, like, then you can be more engaging, right? But that way it captures all of the people who are having periods at every age, and not just, and including the kids in the room who may be trans or trans non-binary, who haven't come out yet or aren't talking about it yet, who at least know that you, the sex ed teacher, understand their needs, just because you're being inclusive, not because you're saying, and if you're trans, like, you're just saying people who have periods. So I'm not saying, I don't know if that's a really big change or not, but what we've started doing is to just not have different lessons. We just have the same lesson in both rooms to be really inclusive of all genders, and trying to change our language. Instead of saying girls have periods and boys don't, we're saying people with a uterus are going to have a period most likely, and people without a uterus won't. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that might mean a boy has a period, and sometimes that means girls don't have periods for a lot of reasons. But those are just some ways that we've been doing that in the county.
Yeah, that's the county. That's the county employee, the health advocate or whatever, mm-hmm. who's chiming in for the public school there at this meeting with all public, there's employees. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, this maybe is a big change, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you think?
Well, and also to be clear, because we have not mentioned this, and if someone has not seen the video, they won't know. These are proposed changes. These are not voted on yet or decided yet. No. These are just what they're going to suggest
at this
point.
And how many times have you seen the suggestions just become?
I know, but I just want to be clear.
That's why I stress these are FUSD, four FUSD employees, Flagstaff Unified School District, and one county employee, all of which you pay for, your tax dollars pay for, and they're having this meeting. You know, it is recorded. At least they had it open, although you couldn't go to it. I think you could chime in over the phone. I think
it looked like people were on the phone, but it wasn't a little room.
You couldn't go to this. So, and they're going to be going through, you know, next. They didn't have time to get to 7th, 9th, and 11th. Mm-hmm. Imagine what they're going to be talking about at that point.
Yeah.
And here you've got this county employee, Tolchinsky, T-O-L-C-H-I-N-S-K-Y, who's weighing in on, you know, the boy girl, I guess, issue that, you know, that I guess it makes some people uncomfortable, and that, you know, we're not accommodating the boys, who are having their periods, you know, those who are mm-hmm. identifying as boys. Right. Mm-hmm. And hey, let's make these sex ed classes the same. And you basically get to choose which one you go to.
Yeah,
I know. You get to decide.
That was the weird thing, is that she even brought up the point that Arizona wants or requires below a certain grade to have two separate classes.
Yeah, and why is that? And here this was addressed here. Oh, that one's gone. That was, okay, if you could have heard that, it was the one lady who's in charge of the sex ed said, hey, we have to do this. It's in state law.
Yeah, there's it's in state two law separate that classes.
You have to have a right. boy class and a girl class. Yeah. And why? Right. Because there's differences between boys yeah, and girls.
And she said it herself that, you know, most people feel more comfortable talking about this thing, you know, with their friend group and amongst their own gender.
Yeah.
And I mean, this the county lady kept saying, well, but we'll just tell them that they can go to whichever room they're most comfortable with. And so
that's
I guess
the workaround.
If you have, you know, person born male, but has a friend group that's female and, you know, thinks that they're going to be female and they're a girl, then they can go in that one.
Yeah. Can I reiterate something else here? This is just in the early planning stages. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. It'll become policy later or something close to it. This is also, I want to remind you, fifth graders.
Yeah.
Fifth graders, right? Fifth graders. Okay, so the one guy there, he's like the assistant, he didn't name himself, he just said he was like the assistant or vice
superintendent.
Yeah,
I think his name may have been in the bottom
okay.
corner of the
okay. He chimes screen. In to kind of recap, you know, everything up to this point. Like, whoa, here are some
this
of the changes.
What we're talking
okay,
about.
So the same curriculum, not a separate, not a 90 minutes and versus a 1 hour. We haven't decided anything. Yes. This is what's being suggested. Same curriculum for both groups. And the students go where they feel most comfortable, or I heard the language you said, Sydney, is you can go or where you're with the friend group you're most comfortable sitting learning this
right.
with, maybe.
Right.
So that's something to consider.
I'm taking out the switch that says boy or girl.
Talk about people.
Taking out boy, some girl, talk about people.
Periods.
Some people don't have periods. People
or getting really detailed, like if you have a uterus, if you were born with a uterus, you'll probably
fifth
have a period.
Graders, fifth
penis,
graders.
You will not ever have a period.
Right.
That's a county ready? Person again.
Big change.
Big.
How are you feeling?
How are you feeling?
I'm uncomfortable.
Okay.
Say more about that.
Okay, we'll pause it there. How are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling like, what the hell happened to America?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Really?
Well, and in fifth grade, too, they insist that fifth graders are thinking about these things
yeah.
when I believe that they're not.
They're not. They are because you're pounding
yeah,
on them all the time.
If you're reminding them every day that, could be, you know, something else, then they're going to think about it. But normally, ordinarily, that's not going on in fifth grade. Great, I think.
Yeah. Well, the one lady there who's in charge of sex education for the district, right? Or whatever they're calling mm-hmm. it. She seemed to be the only one that was kind of like, hey, what? I'm uncomfortable. She said that. You heard it. I'm uncomfortable. You know, and then
yeah, she pushed back a little bit.
Yeah, pushed back a little bit. Here she is.
I've had to make the choice with some parents because they're encouraging their kids to change. And I don't think a kid at the age of 10 or 11, or possibly even seventh grade, has the capability to make the decision of going through the multiple surgeries that they're going to have to do in order to change.
That has to challenge you a little bit to say like that you, it's not your,
no,
we have
no.
to keep our personal feelings out of that
yeah.
and really let that, give that student a space where they're learning about those different yeah. things.
Okay, so they got the one, the head of it, you know, saying, hey.
They're too young to
concerned.
Be. Yeah.
Yeah, how can these fifth and seventh graders possibly go through these, especially surgeries and mm-hmm. other things, right?
Or even just deciding.
And then you got one yeah. of these employees saying, oh, I have to challenge you on that. These are
yes.
fifth graders.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to think back to fifth grade and you know, this was not an issue.
Well,
we weren't thinking about anything even close to this.
I don't even remember having a class similar to this
no.
until at least seventh grade.
Yeah, it was
at
seventh
least,
or eighth grade or
at
something.
At least seventh grade,
yeah.
not before that.
Yeah.
I mean, beyond the, you know, probably standard, you know, don't talk to strangers. And if someone touches you, approaches, you know, that
very
sort
basic
of thing. Yeah.
stuff. And
yeah.
I don't have a problem with that stuff,
yeah.
but they're getting into some really bizarre stuff in the public school. And nobody's paying attention to this. We know it's been happening around the country. And here's right in your backyard, man. These people just talking about this openly. about the fifth graders, you know, merging them into, you know, same lessons. You know, if you're, you decide which class you go to, got to accommodate boys with periods. Really, really bizarre stuff for fifth graders.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, well, this is, and when we come back, we'll talk about how there's a couple more just eye-opening clips here about how these fifth graders are playing around with their gender. And this is a common thing, and they're exploring and they're discovering. Fifth graders.
10 years old.
10 years old. And they're openly talking. This is your public school. This is the stuff they want to teach them. And they act like it's no big deal and it's just normal.
Yeah.
It's just normal. And it's like, when did this switch flick? And when did this happen? It's been happening for a long time. I'd love to hear from you, especially if you're in any of these school districts that are doing this crap. Or if you really weren't aware of this and you're hearing this for the first time, that this is the stuff that they would like to get into your fifth graders' education.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@iCloud.com. Send in your email comments. If you want to block all this out, call the Blind Brothers and get a new set of blind shutters or shades. We need like a force field at this point, I think, right? Yeah. I'm going to have to call them and say, hey, do we have like a, just like, what, Star Wars,
yeah,
the Death Star, except I don't want the thing where you can drive in and shoot the one rocket down the hole and disengage it. I want the Blind Brothers to get me a whole house blind shutters or shades. Why don't you give them a call? They did a great job for Angela and I getting all new blinds in our home in Flagstaff. They do an awesome job. They do great installation as well. In fact, if you mention the Jeff Overt Show, get half off installation in addition to any other advertised specials. Call the Blind Brothers, 928-634-2423, 928-634-2423, or go to theblindbrothers.com. And also, hey, American Trailer Company, what a great company just north of Flagstaff. Outside the city limits, by the way, you don't have to pay sales tax, city sales tax, when you get a new flat bed trailer, dump trailer, which I'm going to be using a lot this week since the kids are gone. And Angela's going to start driving it and loading up wood chips. And she's going to become a trucker this week. It's going to be awesome. I'll tell you all about it. They got the dump trailers. They got cargo trailers. They got a whole yard of trailers out there at American Trailer Company. Just there on 89 on the left, drive just about 5-6 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Check out their whole inventory as well. They got everything up online at AmericanTrailerAZ.com. And by the way, this month, mention, if you're waiting, if you've been on the fence about replacing an old rickety trailer or you want to upgrade it, your contract or your homeowner that does a lot of projects like me, call them. Or when you go out there, mention J.O. Show. That's all you got to say. Hey, when you're ready and you're finally sealing up the deal, hey, I heard about this on the J.O. Show, right? 6% off. That's significant on this.
Yeah.
So mention trailers, yeah. J.O. Show is the promotion for April, 6% off American Trailer Company. Head on out there and check it out or go to American Trailer. Well, American Trailer. I keep hitting the wrong button. AmericanTrailerAZ.com. That's the right one. Back in a minute. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
You're listening to the Jeff Orbit Show.
All right, Angela and I are reviewing this sex ed meeting amongst staff members of Flagstaff's public school, the Flagstaff Unified School District, and one county employee who is the health advocate. That's intense. What do you do? I'm the health advocate. What does that mean? I don't know. I advocate for health. Advocate
the word
for health
advocate
here.
Says
I bet you
all.
I don't get paid the same. But anyway, I don't even have a fancy card that says health advocate. We don't give any health advice on this show, but I can tell you the stuff I'm hearing in this meeting from February amongst these people has got me quite disturbed. I listened to the whole thing. I don't think most people are aware of it. Daily Signal did a good job getting this out nationally, but there's still a lot of people in this school district that I think this should be concerning to you, what they're doing with sex ed. And we only got to the fifth graders thus far.
Yeah,
fifth graders.
I'm a little shocked that they're even going into that much detail in fifth grade.
Yeah.
I really am. I mean, I actually don't know how much detail, but the detail they were talking about in this meeting was a little more than I would assume for a fifth grade.
Well, this assistant superintendent or whatever title he's got chimes in. At first, I thought he was going to be like one of the... Okay, let's wait a second here. But he just kind of goes along.
Oh, yeah, he was in.
The only one that kind of even raised some questions. And you should be raising questions. If you've got any kind of political or employee group that, you know, this becomes political later because it goes to the elected board for decisions, mm-hmm. I would assume, unless they've been designated as the authority on this, like, you know, Congress has relegated much of their power to the bureaucrats. Maybe mm-hmm. that's the case here. I'm not sure. Maybe I'll send a message to FUSD and find out. Maybe. And maybe this is just going to fly through. But you want a group of people really asking tough questions like, wait a second, if I was a parent and hearing this, where's that person? I mean, the one person in charge of sex ed kind of was raising a flag mm-hmm. on a couple issues. Yeah. But where's, like... I don't know what other word to use here, folks. Where's the regular person, the regular mom, the you know, your average mom or your average dad or somebody who's just like, just kind of living the normal traditional life that most of us, I think, still live mm-hmm. in that meeting saying, wait a second, what? Yeah. Yeah. Wait, boys having periods?
Yeah.
We need to come. Wait, whoa, fifth grade. No.
I know.
Where's that? It's not there.
Yeah.
So well, anyway,
they don't invite that person.
These groups are all very inclusive. Yeah. They're very inclusive as long as you agree with them. If you don't, you won't even get in the group. No. You ain't even invited to the party, man. Anyway, so the guy chimes in, this superintendent guy, once again, with his wisdom.
Right. And let me also say that there's a spectrum of what is available to people who are who identify as a gender different from what they're assigned at birth. So a fifth grader or a seventh grader might feel more like their identity is as a girl, and they were assigned boy at birth, and they may not go through any transition that involves medicine or surgery. They may not. And also, our gender expression isn't necessarily a biological thing. It's a cultural thing that they, where they feel like this is how I present, this is how I feel in the world. Let me just finish this idea.
Let him finish. Let him roll.
If that's how... We should want them to all learn the same thing first, because I think that's mm-hmm. respectful. And we're not deciding something necessarily for their future and how they identify and what choices they make.
No, because they're not very influential, influenced.
That's more closely aligned with how they identify. I think it might go a long way to develop empathy, not just between students who are cisgendered and students who are non-binary or trans, but also between boys and girls in general. There might be a lot of like this. I get why it's touchy, but I
I don't think you do. I don't think he does. This is fifth graders.
I know. Yeah.
It's like, oh, just this like cultural thing. And it's just like, we all need to get along. And it's just like, fifth graders. I'm speechless. And I sat on this for a week because it was painful to watch. It was painful to which clips do I even pull. You should listen to the whole thing because it's so bizarre, but it's so indicative of what's going on in many public schools that nobody's hearing about or caring about or paying attention to. I don't know. It's out there.
Yeah.
This is in your public school. And this is, they're openly talking about these fifth graders exploring their gender. You know, and that this is just normal stuff.
Well, and
this is normal stuff now.
Well, boys need to learn how to talk to girls about their periods and ask questions and ask their mom. And I mean, they're 10 and 11 years old. It's just
look, you're at that age. I still don't try to ask too many questions.
I don't understand. Like, okay, yeah, at some point boys need to, you know, they need to know what that is.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that fifth grade is a little bit young to be even discussing that stuff.
Yeah.
I guarantee that most boys have no clue what that is and no interest in knowing what that is anyway.
Yeah.
At that age.
Yeah. I don't.
And that's on the young side for girls to even be starting that sort of thing either. I mean, even as a girl, you do need to know that this is going to happen at some point. But I mean, that's on the young side.
That's pretty
too,
young. Well, we looked that up. What was the age?
Well, the average is about 12 years old.
Okay. Average.
And so you could get ones that are 10 or 11 or even 13, 14.
It could happen.
It could be kind of anywhere in that range.
But the average is you're getting more into like seventh grade.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just what we looked up and from, you know, wisdom, mm-hmm. right? From your experiences.
Yeah, I know.
And stuff like, I don't think it's changed that much.
No.
You know, so it's like, what are we even doing here? Why is this even the topic for fifth graders? I mean, I just kind of think of my kids coming home and, oh, here's what we talked about today. Boys, what would you say?
They're talking about how can we do like role playing stuff in this and how to talk to each other about this stuff.
What would you
kids
say your kid
don't
comes
have
home?
Interest in that stuff yet. I know. I think at least, I mean, from my experience growing up and seeing our three kids already past the age of 10, 11, they're not talking about that stuff. They're not interested in it.
Well, they'll argue, oh, yes, they are. You just don't know your kids. I'm so smart because... what's that one person's name? Tochinski, her, that she has on her thing there in the video. I'm just so smart because I went to school for all this and I just know because I deal with these
she
kids.
She really cut in a lot.
Oh,
too,
she
into
did.
That conversation.
She was slick. Yeah. And you can tell this whole thing. There's some people with agendas here and it's a little bit at a time, And they got a lot here. You get this dude going along with it. The only one that, like I said, put up a little bit like, wait a second, uncomfortable here. You know, imagine your kid comes home. It's like fifth grader. And like your boy, for example. And then, oh, am I going to have my period?
Yeah.
I mean, you know how kids are at that age. Their mind's all over the place. It's like my kid comes home, tells me that. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, right.
What happened?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I'm still confused whether this is an opt-in class or an opt-out class.
Exactly. They were confused.
They were not clear on that. So I think anyone out there should be calling their school and asking.
Be careful what you sign because
in fifth grade.
I think I remember something that they were saying in the first 30 minutes, but I'm not totally sure here. That's you initially signed something in the beginning of the year on some of this crap. So be careful what you sign with these schools with permission slips. This one should be a... We are teaching fifth grade. Here's the curriculum.
Yeah,
detail.
I was gonna say, you should ask.
You have
for
to
what they're,
opt into this stuff, and it should definitely say in there if this passes and makes it into curriculum policy. I guess that's you know make sure you're mentioning that we're changing, getting rid of boy girl for people. Make sure you're mentioning that they can choose which class they go to, if you know however they're feeling that day, and make sure you mention boys with periods because
right.
I think those would be keywords that. A majority of parents would be like, huh?
Yeah.
What?
Well, and they kept talking about how they want the kids to go into the room that they're most
comfortable
in because for their comfort. But what about
the comfort,
you know,
of, the
comfort of the other 30 kids or whatever, however many are in that room? What about their comfort? If you're in the room for the girls and I got a question to ask, and maybe it's all anonymous and all that, but, you know,
You know somebody's in there that wouldn't normally be in there.
You know, someone else comes walking in, you know, that's not
the person who was born a boy who now thinks they're a girl comes in, and you don't feel
what
comfortable.
What about the comfort of all the rest of those girls that maybe want to sit and talk about
Angela, come on, that doesn't happen. What about the sports teams where the boys are playing on the girls' team and they're in the locker room, you know, swinging around? I mean, come on. You got to be blunt with this crap now.
Yeah.
This is bull crap, and if your kids are still going there and if you're not speaking up, I don't know what to say at this point.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but this is right
in
your face.
Especially if
you better figure
out
where you stand.
Fifth, seventh, ninth, or 11th grader, you better call in the school asking for the curriculum.
Yep.
Ask and Pay attention to these meetings.
Pay attention. And you know what? The only way this changes, you don't change it with new board members because you're not going to get that in flag. And I disagreed with that guy from the Daily Signal on that because I've watched this for a long time. Continue voting with your feet. Continue voting with this, with your feet. Last one here. Last clip to wrap this up. I just feel compelled to play this because nobody else is going to get this out there.
And we're not talking about it at all. We're not talking about gender identity or sexual orientation. We should start having that conversation. If just this is the words, these are the language, this is the same place. Yeah. And I
want to just connect with Betty.
County employee.
I feel like the hardest part of this work, and no one knows this better than you and I, Betty, in this room, is leaving our own opinions out of this like important info, right? Like we want them all to have the right info and not color that with what we feel, which is really hard as a sexual health educator. I feel like it's the hardest thing about this work. And yeah, I want to reiterate what you all have said too, is there's a couple things going on in fifth grade. With gender, there's a lot of exploration and a lot of rebellion.
Fifth grade
and playing around with gender and being able to like discover what you are and what you like, and then go back without any consequence is really healthy for them. So just because they're expressing an interest in gender diversity doesn't mean they will end up being a transgender person. But having the freedom to do that at that age makes them healthier when they settle, if that makes sense. Am I making sense?
When they settle.
It happens a lot around age 3 and 4, and it happens again a lot around puberty, this gender discovery. So if we can just paint a safe room, like make a safe space, like Lance was alluding to, if a kid truly is gender diverse, they're more at risk for bullying and suicide. And we can catch those just by making the room safer. And then the kids that are not transgender, who are just expressive right now, also will feel safer to really figure that out. And the cisgender kids who are not exploring this will be kinder and fight bullying just by hearing us say it this way. Does that make sense? Like, I don't think it has to be you taking a stand against your comfort. I think it can really be about suicide prevention and bullying prevention at this level. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes sense. So that's how we get it in there. Mm-hmm. You make it about bullying and suicide prevention. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? She keeps saying that. It's like, you get it?
Yeah.
You get it? Does that make sense? Hey, everyone, does that make sense to you, everything I just played you? Does that make sense? Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love to hear from you. None of it makes sense. And then it does. And then you get like, woof, Angela and I are out of here. We're heading to Camp Verde after this one. We'll be down there the rest of the week. Hey, I like to own physical gold and silver because a lot of things just don't make sense to me. And I buy my physical gold and silver from Desert Gold Exchange, a great company in Arizona. Justin and his family, they keep their overhead low. They pass the savings on to you. And that makes sense to me. Give them a call, Desert Gold Exchange, at 888-852-4343. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. They're going to treat you like gold. And they're going to talk to you in a way that makes sense. 888-852-4343. Or go to Desert. Oh, that's her again. We should just keep playing. Does that make sense? Go to DesertGoldExchange.com. That's DesertGoldExchange.com. I'll be right back, I think. Listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe, look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right. We all survived the eclipse. We almost didn't survive that school meeting, though.
I know.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough stuff. Yeah, it was cool. Like halfway on that eclipse or so.
Yeah, we weren't in the prime location.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as geographically, but yeah,
it was cool to see. It's always cool to see that
still
stuff.
Still cool to see.
Yeah, I'm glad the world didn't end. You know, I made a bet on Friday that I was pretty certain it wouldn't because of the eclipse. But yeah people got
I knew
kooky.
We'd still be here.
People get so kooky about some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've been to too many world-ending events so far. It'll surely be something you don't know about.
Yeah,
right. Right? I mean,
well, and both the kids were kind of traveling when this happened, but they made an effort to stop and they had solar glasses for the kids to share and to be able to see it.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good experience for them.
Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow. I hope we get some comments on that, especially that FUSD stuff and even that, you know, billions in grants and subsidies to these chip makers. Email us. We want to report on Smart. We'll be in a Verde Valley the rest of the week and Angela will be with me all week. So we'll have fun getting some of your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Everybody have a great, safe night. Take care. See you soon. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.